Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by me, Tony Liebert. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Tony Liebert and Instagram and TikTok at Tony_Liebert. For today's episode, we will be previewing the Gophers Week 11 matchup on the road in West Lafayette versus the Purdue Boilermakers. It's another 2:30 p.m. kickoff for the Gophers. Oddly enough, they are playing on NBC again. Another primetime game against a 2-7 Purdue team. So this is a weird game for the Gophers, but they enter as a 1-point underdog, and the over-under is currently set at 46.5 points. So it will be another tightly contested Big Ten West matchup. So a little bit about Purdue. They are 2-7 this year, year one of the Ryan Walters era, new head coach from Illinois, who was the defensive coordinator last season there. Purdue's had a pretty tough schedule, kind of like Illinois. They opened the year against a very good Fresno State team. In my eyes, probably a top 30 team in the country, and they lost 35-39 in that game. It was at Purdue. And then they went to Virginia Tech, struggling program right now, but they won by 7 on the road. And then they hosted Syracuse and lost a pretty bad Syracuse team that started out well, but they're struggling now. And then home Wisconsin loss, and then a home Illinois win. Pretty impressive win, too. They won 44-19. One of the more fascinating results of the season in the Big Ten. I still don't really get that game. I see Purdue as one of the weaker teams in the conference, and we saw last week that Illinois is still incredibly talented. And then Purdue went on the road, tight game with Iowa, 6 points against Iowa is like 12 against most teams, but then they hosted Ohio State, loss, at Nebraska, loss, at Michigan, loss. None of those last three were relatively close. They were all by multiple scores. And now Purdue is carrying a 4-game losing streak into this game with the Gophers, but they are favored. So that tells you how tight the Big Ten West is. The clear worst team can still give a team that's competing for a Big Ten West title still a run for their money. And yeah, like I said, first year for Ryan Walters in 2023. Some players to watch for Purdue. I think the best player on their team is probably their safety, Dylan Thieneman, who probably has some NFL potential, definitely an all-conference level player. And then we'll talk about it in a little bit, but their prized possession of the offseason was quarterback Hudson Card, who was transferred from Texas. And then they got running back Devin Mockabee, who's been there for a while. Solid Big Ten running back, nothing to write home about. Tyrone Tracy is another running back who's kind of came on this season, and their next best defensive player, I think, is Nick Scorton on the edge, very talented edge rusher. And then their best offensive lineman, I think, is Preston Nichols, who is a guard. So those are some guys to look out for, just so you know what names to watch. But not a Purdue roster that jumps off the table, that is for sure. So coming off the heels now, one of the most frustrating losses of the PJ Fleck era, I wouldn't go anywhere near saying it's one of the worst losses. It was just, given all the circumstances, it was just frustrating. But life doesn't get easier. Travel to West Lafayette, a place that's always sleepy and hard to win, no matter who's playing, no matter who's the coach. One of those Big Ten West stadiums. And they're underdogs, technically. Very short underdogs, but underdogs nonetheless. So what is up with Purdue this season? Ryan Walters enters his first year as head coach. Longtime Purdue coach Jeff Brohm finally made his longtime rumored move to his alma mater, Louisville, except the same role. He is the head coach there now. And he had turned Purdue into a pretty consistent team in the Big Ten West, always flirting with the top 25, kind of how a lot of teams in the Big Ten West are, that they just kind of have years where that happens, but they're never a dominant team. And so now he's gone. And his successor was something interesting to watch, because everyone always talked that he's like, oh, he's going to go to Louisville eventually, blah, blah, blah. That job opened up. Scott Satterfield went to Cincinnati. Jeff Brohm went to Louisville. So now Purdue went out and hired a very popular name amongst the coaching ranks. Ryan Walters was getting a lot of hype last year after being the defensive coordinator for the Fighting Illini. He was only 36 years old, and he turned the Illinois defense into one of the better units in the country. Very quick turnaround. Guys like Devin Witherspoon, who, my eyes, NFL defensive player, defensive rookie of the year. We see Jerzon Newton, learned a lot from his DC, obviously. A lot of really solid defensive players the last few years. So he was at Missouri before Illinois for 5 seasons. He was the safeties coach the first year, and then he kind of slowly integrated into being the DC there. So Brett Bielema clearly saw something there. He never really stood out at Missouri. They've obviously kind of been that 6-6, 5-7 team the last like decade, and this year they're finally breaking out, but I digress. And so now Walters will look to do the same at Purdue. Oddly enough, Purdue's defense is pretty mediocre this season. So it'll take time, like it does anywhere, but he's definitely a defensive coach. That'll be his identity, which will fit right in the Big Ten. It'll be interesting what programs like Purdue, where they go with the new conference and all these teams. Minnesota's on the same tier as Purdue right now. Might be a little higher, obviously, that they have a little more ability at the head coaching position. Nobody knows how good Ryan Walters will be. But nevertheless, really good X's and O's guy. So kind of different than PJ Fleck, in my opinion. Very, very good defensive head coach, but it'll be interesting. First time going up against the Gophers. So as for some personnel, like I mentioned earlier, Texas transfer QB Hudson Card, one of the bigger moves of the offseason. It was kind of impressive that Purdue was able to get him. It kind of happened like right after the head coaching change too. It was, if I remember correctly, I think it was pretty early in the transfer portal process that he committed to Purdue. And then, which is interesting, though, because he really could have went a lot of places, I feel like. He was a really highly touted recruit. I believe he's ranked 70th on 247's composite rankings in 2020. And he had offers from everywhere. Think he would have committed the year before Sark took that job and then he stayed, or the year he did? Might have been Sark's first QB recruit, but and then Quinn Ewers came in, Arch Manning came in, Malik Murphy, who started the K-State game, came in. So that forced him out. He's like, it's going to be tough for me to play. So he went on to Purdue, and he now replaces their longtime starter, Aiden O'Connell, who's now QB1 of the Raiders, looking pretty good in the NFL, but interesting movement at the quarterback position for them. And basically what I'm saying, though, Card, very talented guy. I was very interested to see this Purdue team because I was pretty.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
High on Hudson Card, the few starts he had on at Texas, I thought he was pretty good. But this Purdue team doesn't have many playmakers around him. They don't have very good offensive line. So he's struggled so far this year. Through nine games, he's completed 57.7% of his passes for 1,861 yards, nine touchdowns, and eight picks. So I thought he had a very high variance this year that Purdue could have been a surprise team in year one if he plays very well, elevates the rest of his team, or they could have been disappointed here, and he could have been disappointed. That's kind of where they're at right now. But he's still talented enough that he has the tools to put it all together. So he's definitely still got to look out for it. But that's an interesting dynamic for the program right now. Obviously, quarterback's the most important position. And kind of interesting outlook for him at that position right now. So, yeah, and I mentioned it earlier. A few more storylines. Last one here. Is Purdue the worst team in the Big Ten? It's a fair question that hasn't been asked in a while because they've always been pretty solid the last decade. But after we just saw last week, Michigan State beat Nebraska, Indiana beat Wisconsin, I still personally think both those teams are worse. I mean, the Gophers were favored by 7 at home against Michigan State. And I feel like betting market wise, Indiana's probably the worst. The Gophers would probably be favored by like 10 at home, maybe. I mean, what was that Wisconsin? I forget what the Wisconsin spread was, but maybe it would be around 7. But on the so that means neutral field, it would be like 3.5, 4. So at Purdue, if the Gophers were hosting, they'd be about a 2-point difference. So that's just some betting talk. Basically tells you that the betting markets think Michigan State or Indiana is worse. Purdue's still a solid team. They got a solid roster. But I say all that, they're the only team in the conference with 2 wins. Michigan State now has 3. Indiana now has 3. But Purdue has better wins than both of them. Winning at Wisconsin for Indiana is a whole different. Or no, that game was at Indiana. But still, beating Wisconsin is probably the best win out of that whole group. But Purdue has beaten Virginia Tech and Illinois. They've only played Power 5 opponents all season. A very tough ask for any program in the first year with a new head coach. So I wouldn't put too much stock into their record is basically what I'm saying. I think they're still a really solid football team that'll give the Gophers a run for their money. I think the Gophers have clear advantages skill-wise across the field, but they had advantages last week. So I would not go too far to say anything in this game. And I think when you look at whether they are the worst team in the conference, blah, 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 I think what it shows is that the Big Ten's really as deep as it's ever been. There's in years past, a down year for Northwestern, a down year for Rutgers, a down year for Indiana. You see them on the schedule and you're like, okay, that's a win. And you can pretty confidently say that because I mean, as Gophers fans, we all know it's hard to get up sometimes for like a MAC opponent, but when it's a conference game in like November and you got Indiana, you're not worried too much sometimes. But what I'm saying is there's not really that many of those this year. You know, Indiana's a live dog, Purdue's a live dog. So, well, Purdue might be the worst team in the conference. Gophers cannot overlook the Boilermakers. So, how are the Gophers going to win this game? Where do they have advantages? Blah, blah, blah. I personally think Ethan will probably put together one of his better games in his Gophers career. I think he'll continue having good play. Purdue's pass defense has been, like I said, pretty average, if not bad. They allow 238.9 yards per game. And that ranks 89th best in the country, so that's below the 50% mark. And I think there's room to be had there for the Gophers. They clearly have found something in the passing game. I think, at least I can hope, I can be optimistic that the offense watched the film of last game, saw which Harbaugh maybe saw the stuff that was working in the first half, and he's asking himself, why did we go away from that in the second half? And maybe they can start out with that again. But yeah, I'm not really too scared of the Purdue pass defense. So that's kind of what gives me a little hope in this game. And I think a big factor will be the health of Darius Taylor. Jordan Newman's proven to be more than capable of being a starting Big Ten running back, but when Taylor's in there, we've seen the Gophers offense be able to play at a different level. Obviously, that North Carolina game wasn't good, but when you look at the Eastern Michigan game, the Northwestern game, they were moving the ball great before he got hurt. You look at that would have been what game? The Iowa game. I mean, they were moving the ball against one of the best defenses in the country. So basically, what I'm saying is he takes their offense to another level. I don't think it will hurt them necessarily if he doesn't play, but it will help them dramatically if he does, in my opinion. So that'll be something interesting to see. I haven't heard anything about if he will play or if he won't play, but I think it's going to be like any game has been in the Big Ten West this season. All of them have been one score for the Gophers. The tight Nebraska game, Michigan obviously plays in the East. And then you got the tight Northwestern game. You got the tight Illinois game, the tight Iowa game. And now this game, I think it'll be tight. I don't think either team's going to pull away. And I sound like a broken record here, but there's going to be a handful of plays, kind of like in that Illinois game, that are going to sway whether this goes one way or the other. If the Gophers don't fumble on the first kickoff of the game, I think that's a different game against Illinois. If they don't let up that touchdown at the end of the game, you obviously know it's a different game, but there were a lot of plays in the middle of that. If they didn't settle for a field goal after the early turnover in the second half, it's a different game. So it's just, there's going to be three or four plays that we're talking about the next day on Sunday that we're going to be like, well, that determined it. That swung the game. So I think when you're playing in games this tight of margins, comes out and what rises to the top is coaching. I think anyone who's a fan of the Vikings saw that in the Zimmer era, those close games were hard to win. And then they replaced their coach, and then the following year they won all those close games. So again, I'm not saying that PJ Fleck needs to seats warm or anything, but I am saying he has to make better decisions. And it's not just him, it's his whole coaching staff. But obviously, it starts at the top. And management controls their employees. And they lead their employees. So it's coaching decisions, player decisions. It's just got to be sharp in these games, especially when you play a style the Gophers do. The margins are so small. And basically what I'm saying is the margins are going to be small in this game again. I could tell you that Purdue has good run defense, good pass defense, blah, blah, blah. I could say that the Gophers have an advantage here, an advantage there. It's going to be close at the end of the day. It's going to be a close game, and it's whoever's going to make plays. But as I say that, the Illinois game scared me a lot more last week. I thought the Gophers were going to lose, and they did. It just seemed like a good spot for Illinois coming off the bye week. And, I mean, Purdue right now is reeling. Year one of a new head coach with losses to Iowa, Ohio State, Nebraska, Michigan all in a row. And like I said, that they haven't played a non-Power 5 team. I just think that's going to catch up to them here. And they're going to kind of stumble down the rest of the season. And I think it will be close. And I think the Gophers, I said the Gophers were going to win 21-20. That might be a little, as I wrote that, a little pessimistic, honestly. Now that I talk about it a little more, I could see them winning by maybe a score, maybe seven. But I think this game will be played in the 20s. And Purdue hasn't scored more than 14 points since September. It is November 9th. So they've only scored more than 14 points once since they played Syracuse. But I digress. And so basically what I'm saying, I expect to go first. We've talked about setting your expectations for these games and not getting let down as a fan. I think this is a game you can go in and expect to win because they should win this game. And I think they have a clear advantage. They're playing a two-win team that's reeling. And the Gophers are reeling after a loss. But it's time to step up and play like you should be playing. The Gophers have shown that they have the guys. And it's time to do it. And this is a game to do it. So, a quick episode. I don't think I got much else to talk about. As I'm recording this, the Thursday before the game, 4 years ago, today, on November 9th, the Gophers beat Penn State, 31-27 at TCF Bank Stadium, then TCF Bank Stadium. Number five ranked Nittany Lions. Just a tremendous game. Crazy how quick time flies. Just thought I'd mention that. Terran Morgan, 18 of 20 in that game for 339 and three touchdowns. Seems like that was generations ago. Just kind of tells you how this sport is. It's up and down, and there are things that will change, and there are moments that will change coaches, players, and everyone's legacy. And that was a game that did. If DJ Fleck didn't win that game, I don't know if he's still the coach of the Gophers right now, but that's how sports work. Another thing I wanted to mention, Dragan Kesich, named one of the 20 finalists for the 2023 Lou Groza Award, awarded to college football's top place kicker. Kesich is 18 of 21 on field goals this season, perfect 19 and 19 on extra points. So, well-deserved distinction for him. And the Gophers kicking unit still continues to be money. A few other shout-outs, I guess, now that I'm closing out here. The Tanner Morgan back on the Vikings practice squad after Jaren Hall suffered a concussion. Seems like he's kind of their emergency like QB4 that they just bring up if they have an injury or something. But cool to see him back on an NFL roster, especially when it's in his state and city of residence. I don't know if he's living in. He might have moved back to Kentucky, but yeah. I think we'll wrap it up there. Gophers basketball season starting out strong. Coy Parrish received an offer from Ohio State. Interesting recruitment to follow. As the season winds down here, I'm definitely going to talk a little more about roster construction in the future. Some I love talking about. But he now has offers from Michigan, Ohio State, USC, and Florida State. So as the Gophers have a commit from him, they are far from done recruiting him, and I would assume the full court press is on him, and they are giving him everything right now because they're dealing with the big boys, and rightfully so. He is a tremendous football player. It's certainly something to monitor. I would not confidently say either way that he's going to leave or he's going to stay because I think it would be naive to say things like that, but certainly something to follow. And yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up there. As always, I appreciate everyone for listening. Row the boat, Sky Uma, and go Gophers.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.